this time is focused on the first session, right? So the question is somebody comes to you, they want to meet, and so we want to talk about some practical, real practical steps for what we can do. So let me pray, and we'll dive in. Lord, thank you for just all the stuff that we've talked about, and it's just, Lord, it's that after lunch fog, and I pray that you would help us to just process this information, and Lord, and just help us to use this time that we have this afternoon productively, and I pray that it would be helpful. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what we've been talking about in our church here is formal and informal biblical counseling, right? Because biblical counseling is formal in the sense that, you know, you might schedule a time to sit down with somebody and go through material. Biblical counseling is informal when you're talking in the hallway, and right? But both are important. And part of the beauty of biblical counseling is that it's in the local church. That the message from the pulpit, the message from something like this, the message from your family group or small group or Sunday school class or whatever it might be, is consistent with the message in the counseling room. A lot of problems happen when somebody's getting counsel from here and from here and from here, and it's different counsel. And so part of what we're trying to do is help people think biblically. And so and in the church community, there's natural accountability. And so if somebody's thinking on biblically and they see friends out at Chipotle at lunch and it's an informal conversation is struck up, and you know, it just reinforces a gospel message versus whatever other message. So what I have here and what I'm focusing on now is a conversation that's more of the formal type of biblical counseling. Okay, so I'm just going to share from our perspective some things that we're trying to do, and hopefully this will be helpful. So I want to start just first things first, and we kind of already have talked about this. So biblical counseling, this just happened to me recently. Individual wants to talk, has an issue, and so we set up a time. He comes into my office and we talk. Okay? What did I do? Where did I start the conversation? So he says, starts to share, and I'm not going to go into details, but just starts to share from his life and talk. And just kind of listening to him, I'm listening for gospel. I want to discern where he's at spiritually. We've already said this. We kind of have to start there, because if somebody is not a believer, how can we bring them to Scripture if the Holy Spirit's not in their life and try to disciple them? You can't disciple somebody who's not a believer. And so we got to start with the gospel. And so a tool that we're trying to use, wow, that didn't work. A tool that we're trying to use is just a simple gospel tool. And so this could be one of many tools. You could have a different one. But what we want to do is assess where somebody's at. So we start with the beginning. In the beginning, God created the world good. We were in perfect relationship with God. We were in perfect relationship with one another. The world was as God wanted it to be in Genesis. But because of sin, we have a broken world. Our world is broken, and people are trying to fix their world through all kinds of things. Drugs, jobs, money, right? But those things don't fix the world. Oftentimes they make it worse. It just snaps them right back into brokenness. And so we go on and we talk about Jesus. He did three major things. He came down as a man, walked this earth. He died on the cross as a substitute for me and my sin that, you know, made me guilty before God. But Jesus took my place on the cross, and he rose again. And if I turn and believe in Jesus Christ, making him the Lord of my life, God gives me the Holy Spirit, and he helps me to grow and calls me to go back into this broken world. And so then I ask the question, where are you? Where are you? And really, there's only two places we can be, right? Here or here. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm kind of in between. But I'm listening for that kind of talk because it shows me confusion, right? If they say, well, I'm here, I'm a Christian, I might hand them the marker and say, okay, walk me through the gospel. And I invite them, because part of this, part of what we're doing here is we're doing discipleship. Biblical counseling really is discipleship. Okay? So if you had a chance to write the three circles down, I'm going to erase this. Okay? Holy Spirit. God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us grow. And then we can put this here to go back into the world. And so I ask them, and I'll ask them to begin to write down and articulate to me the gospel, right? And this isn't necessarily the place that we're going to get into deep theology unless they go there. I'm just wanting to make an assessment. And so if they have some theological issues, then we can continue on through our counseling going deeper. But I just want to get an assessment where they are in the gospel, because part of this is discipleship. So I am teaching a person to not only for their own sake discern where they are, but eventually the goal is, as I drew earlier, the goal is that the stream I drew, the goal is they get back into the center of the stream, and then they can help other people. Okay? So if a person is able to articulate the gospel and say, yes, I am a believer, then I'll go one direction. If they're confused, so in the case I was sharing with you, this individual clearly articulated he was in brokenness, which is helpful. Because if he clearly defines that he's in brokenness, he's not a believer. And I can address this situation appropriately. So in that situation, that's where we hunker down. He was having a issue with something totally different, right? He came to me because he was wanting advice on how to deal with this situation, and I was going this direction. But I told him, I said, I can't help you here until we get this right. Because all he was wanting is a list of, like, vitamins to take. Like, if he could just pop them, then he could make his situation better. But from a biblical counseling standpoint, we have to have a gospel foundation. The three circles is simply just a tool that you can use. You could use a different one, but that's a very simple one, because you can draw it on a whiteboard or a piece of paper. They can draw it, and it's easy for them to pass on to other people, because, like I said, the goal is as they get into the middle of the stream of discipleship. So they might be here, but we want to get them there. Here is more of a crisis kind of discipleship, a focused, pointed type of discipleship, dealing with a specific issue. And so the gospel and having a relationship with Christ is foundation for them to begin to address those issues. Is that clear? Does that make sense? I don't want to rush there. Dave, do you have anything to add to that? Dave, Pastor Dave has helped us with a lot of this thinking. So, Lori? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Amen. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and it helped them to realize the things that they're trying are broken wells. They don't work. But it's just a simple tool to help us to start that conversation from a spiritual standpoint. Recording, so I should be passing around the mic. I'm sorry, Lori. Yeah. What Lori Turno said is we don't.
So the point isn't this canned presentation. The point is you're just visually laying out. It's like I said, doesn't matter what the tool is as long as it's the gospel. But you're just laying out this pathway. This is what it looks like to have, given your life to Jesus. Repent and believe. Make him king, make him Lord, and as you do that, this is what growth looks like. And wherever it is that they're stuck, if they're in brokenness, then you have it laid out. This is what needs to happen, right? In order for you to grow, right? This needs to happen. You need to give your life to Jesus. And so just laying it out there and allowing them to tell you where they are and where they want to be sets the agenda of, okay, this is the next step we need to take. Mm-hmm. So however you do that, however you want to bring them to the gospel, bring them to the gospel, but then meet them where they're at and encourage them to the next step. And they need to take that next step by faith. And you can't force that on them, but you want to just lay out a clear path of following Jesus.
Yeah, and biblical counseling oftentimes can be very evangelistic in this regard because you're working with people who have challenges and struggles, and they may be in the church or not in the church at all. And so we as a church, in thinking about biblical counseling ministry, people hear, hey, you help people with their marriages, that's what they know. But we do talk to people about marriage, but where we start is here at the gospel. And so right. So as we start to talk and we're listening, we start to engage them in a process. So any more thoughts along those lines before I go to the sheet that I pass out? Glenn?
Do you find that is helpful to talk with somebody who has no interest in the gospel, that just seems to be just content with living their pagan life?
Yeah, so the question is, somebody that doesn't have an interest in the gospel, right? They just want advice. They want a quick fix to their problem. Where does biblical counseling fit into that situation, right? Well, like the individual I talked to you, right? He walked out of my office and I shared the gospel with him. Very, very clearly, he started to bring up a lot of theological questions, like how does a good God send people to hell, and that might be where we need to go in our conversation. And I'm willing to do that. What it does is it helps serve as a filter, right? So I said, hey, I want to meet you again. I'd love to talk to you again. And do you mind if I text you this week? And so I text him, no reply, right? And he may not be interested in the gospel. But that's where we're going to go. And, you know, I'm going to scatter the seed, right? I'm looking for fertile soil. I can scatter the seed. I can't make somebody believe the gospel. But as long as he's willing to talk to me about the gospel, I'm going to be faithful to share it. But what happens usually is people filter out. You know, if they're not really interested, if the Spirit of God is not working in their life and you're casting seed on hard soil, their hearts are rocky and, you know, and I'm looking for people that God's really wanting or God's doing work in. And so, yeah. I don't know if that, does that answer your question, Glenn? Yeah, I mean, I think it's what I'm talking about is a formal counseling session where they've sought you out. They're looking for advice. But to get in that, I would refer you to Pastor Dave to initiate that conversation, because I think there are some questions we can ask. You know, one that we're just talking a lot about is, how can I pray for you? Right. So maybe you're talking about a coworker who's not interested in the gospel. Very easy thing if it's, you know, lunch break. It's like, you know, I pray for people I'm around, and yeah, I pray for you on a regular basis, but I've never asked you a specific prayer request. How could I pray for you? And, you know, wow, you pray for people? And who knows where that conversation could go, but it could be the beginning of a real gospel conversation. So, Linda? Since you're sitting next to Lori, I thought it really rub.
Now that the microphone's here, you go. I'm in line.
But if they don't seem to be interested in the gospel in the first place, and they end up walking, and they don't come back, something may have been said during the time that you're
Amen.
There that
yeah.
may click in later.
Amen.
So, you know, we've got to give them everything that we can give them when we can,
yeah. Yeah.
and then hope that it registers somewhere down
yeah.
the line. That happens oftentimes, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of, like, saying, well, I don't sense that they're not really receptive, so I'm not going to share with them, right? It's my job to scatter the seed. So.
Well, and Pastor Dave gave a great sermon about how it's not our job to till the soil, it's ours to plant the seeds. But the Holy Spirit is doing the tilling.
Amen.
So either the ground is hard or soft. And a sweet story is someone named Nancy, who Caleb knows, does Bible studies at our office, and she had been crying and praying for a girl that she loved, and she brought her into my office, and she said, the reason we're like in the principal's office with Lori is because we've been doing Bible study for 2 years and I don't see any fruit. There just aren't changes. I don't know what to do. I've been crying about this, and the sincerity of Nancy is what won this girl. And she broke down and she said, you know, she looked at me and she said, what do you want me to do? What shall I do now? And so she started coming with me to the Lighthouse and got baptized and goes every week mm-hmm. To the Lighthouse, and has just, from that day, started producing fruit.
Yeah.
And so, like Linda said, you just don't know. For 2 years, nothing. But all those seeds were planted, and all that knowledge was being imparted. And so then all of a sudden it became clear, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and also of a really praying, caring person
yeah,
that led her to that place.
Yeah. And yeah, we need to be persistent with people.
I can just keep it.
As long as they'll listen. Okay, just real briefly, I just want to walk through this. This is a sheet that I've been trying to use and develop. So when you're doing the formal, more formal sitting down with people. We talked a little bit about this in Pastor Dave's breakout, Dave Revnek's. By the way, all of the breakout session notes are out on the table. So if you didn't get to a breakout and you want the notes, you can go out to the resource table and get those. But we talked about this process. And so you know, whether whether it's, you know, this kind of discipleship, center stream kind of discipleship, or in the bank type of discipleship, really the same process applies, right? Where we're looking back, and so we're there's some loving accountability going on. How was your week? We're talking about ways that we can care, follow up from previous meeting. And so maybe some goals were set that we follow up on and talk through. Maybe something's changed that's significant. And so that looking back section really is that initial, just how are you doing? And I put in there, celebrate obedience, right? We want to celebrate obedience. Part of accountability, you know, if we allow it, it can sometimes be nagging, right? Why didn't you do this? Why are you, you know, we've all been probably in accountability groups where, where, you know, it's just like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm not very good. How are you doing? Not very good. And before you know it, everybody's kind of just downgraded into like a sob session. That's not our goal. We want to celebrate obedience. And so it's loving accountability. Right. And then the heart of our session is looking up. And a key here is that we are spending time in God's word. So our counsel should be in God's word. And so we're pointing people to scripture. So as we listen, as we think about that sanctification piece, right, it's, you know, the way I think, I'm thinking in terms of doctrines, biblical passages, what issues are at play here, right? You know, might have an eating disorder. Well, I could just say, well, you need to start eating right, right? And that might be part of it, but there's something going on in terms of a belief system that's broken, a relationship with God that's broken. So I want to go to scripture, and I want to discern, is it a self-control issue? Is it a identity issue? And so I want to address that biblically. And to do that, we want to engage people in the process. So it's not just me telling them what the Bible says. I want them to read it. So I might ask them to read the passage. Literally asking them, inviting them to read the passage. I want to ask them questions about what it says. What does it mean? How is God calling them to obey? I'm trying my best to, during or afterwards, write down notes. Because it just helps me to listen, right? I don't know if anybody has ever watched the show. It's on Netflix. I think it's called Lie to Me. It's a show. It's this guy who is like a sociologist. He reads people, and he can tell who's lying and who's not really lying. And so he's hired by the FBI or whatever to kind of get at people. And he calls people's expressions micro expressions. Right, an eye twitch, or, you know, a thing they do, it's a tick they have it's a tip. Like if you're playing poker, it's your tell. And so I think people have these micro expressions in their conversations. I call them theological micro expressions. It's a little tell about what they really believe about God. It's a doctrine that's twisted, or it's an exposure of what they really believe. And so those are some things I'm looking for. And then I'm also looking for signs of growth, right? So I'm trying to discern, is this person expressing signs of growth? And to do that, I'm asking questions about their affections, their desires. I'm looking for them to be saying things like, you know, I was excited to be in God's word this week, or I struggled to be in God's word. I didn't want to, but I did. Those are indicators for me to see what's going on. So I'm writing these things down. And then looking ahead, this is an important part where we're setting goals. And I try, and I would encourage you, you know, homework is an important part of biblical counseling. Homework helps that person to continue their counsel, because the goal is that they preach to themselves, right? So they want to, they need to get to the point where they preach the sermon to themselves. And so homework's key. One of the important things, if possible, engage them in setting their goals. So instead of you just simply handing out homework, which sometimes you do need to do, right? Invite them to, okay, is there a scripture that we should memorize here? If possible, you be part of that. Because this is a relationship. And so, you have to be careful you're not over, like, doing it. So if it's a book you're reading, you can only read so many books, right? But if possible, you try to engage in that relationship. Because we're really trying to create a relationship more like this versus like this, where we're patronization, where, they become dependent upon you, because ultimately we want them to take responsibility for their own life. And so getting into the middle of the stream is they're reading the Bible on their own. They're growing. They're asking questions. They're seeking. They're seeking out, more information. They're training others. So that's the idea.